This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 8, text number 6. Yam yam vapi smaran pavam chaja jante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kanteya sadatad pava pavataha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Purport. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who, at the end of his life, quits his body thinking of Krishna, attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How one can die in the proper state of mind? How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharat, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life. And so, in his next life, he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. Om Jnanati Miran Tasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadha Mahyam Dadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Stam Sadivaram Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dadita Sri Vishakhan Vitam E Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Bantau Jagat Bhate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Raha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishna Panam Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhau Yare Vacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Yeah.
yam yam vapi smaran bhava shachachante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kautaya sadatad bhava bhavitam. In this chapter, Arjuna has asked Lord Krishna, how can I think of you at the time of death? This is intelligent to think not only of the next 15 minutes or the next 15 years, but of one's whole life. What is our final destination? To understand, and what should I do with my life? The question so often goes unasked. We just carry on without adequately considering what is my destination and what is my goal. The first thing one has to know is that there's a difference between the body and the person within the body. Antamantaime deha nityasyokta shariram. The body is temporary, lasts for a certain set time, and then it's finished. But the consciousness or atma, soul, within the body is eternally existing. But we're traveling from one body to the next, one lifetime to the next. Just as now we're in this room, it's understood. Previously we were in some other room, the next we'll go to some other place. Not that we exist only when we're within this one room. But we're traveling from body to body also. And which kind of body we get depends upon the consciousness we've created in this life. Later in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will explain that the body is developed around the mind. When we have a certain kind of mind, when our mind is filled with certain kinds of thoughts, that will determine what the next body will be. We'll get a certain set of senses, a certain kind of eye, a certain kind of ear, a certain kind of nose, a certain kind of tongue, certain senses, according to our consciousness, according to what we've done in this life, what we deserve, and what we desire. That will determine the next life. So if we don't think about that, then what will be our fate? So many bells ringing, either some great person has died or someone won or lost a soccer match. Generally, we just try to get as much into this life as we can. Enjoy as much, hire as much, experience as much, do as much. But if this one lifetime is only a flash in our journey, why are we doing that? What's the sense of it? Suppose now I'm in London for 3 days. So if I spend my time making sure that my apartment is very comfortable, maybe I'm getting new paint on the walls or a new bed. Does it make much sense? I'll be gone in 3 days. What's it to me? Meanwhile, there's important things to do here. I have to meet people. But if instead I spend my time seeing to new paint and new furniture, then what am I doing? So, in a similar way, now we're here in this human life, but not for so long. We think, oh, it's like interminable time, or lots of time. But time can be finished at any moment. We don't know that we have another day or another hour in which to live. But we do know that one way or another, death is certain, finished. Mrityu sarva harashchaha. Death comes, and it's all over. This body is finished, and everything connected with the body is finished. Jatasvihi jugam mrityu. For one who's born, death is certain. You know, people have this weird idea, well, if you believe it, it's true for you. Right? People say, if you believe it, it's true for you. Or I'm happy that you believe whatever it is. But that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. If you believe it, then death is true for you. It doesn't depend on our belief. You believe it or not believe it, death will come. It's like not believing in the tax man. You believe in him or you don't believe in him. Sounds like we won, huh? A few moments euphoria. When they kick a ball around and everyone cheers, when death comes, who's there to cheer? What were we thinking of? Yeah, these are good opportunities for drinking more beer. They have only a short time in this human form, and so much of it is spent sleeping, so much of it is spent just in childhood, so much of it is spent in old age. And while they have, you know, strength and energy, it will be spent on watching the football match on a big screen, drinking beer. And they think we're weird because we're always chanting. You know, just a little adjustment and they could be making tremendous spiritual progress. The tendency is there to chant something. To think of something, to chant something, to glorify or celebrate something. But that tendency is being misused. To chant some unintelligible sounds, to glorify some little fallible men who scramble around a patch of turf for a while and kick a ball around. To think about the scores and the
players competition.
And to forget about who they are, what the purpose of life is, what will be our destination. This is called Maya, the illusory energy, which by one way or another distracts us from the real purpose of life. For someone, distraction by sports, by someone else, distraction by books, by someone else, distraction by sex, by someone else, distraction by work, by someone else, distraction by family, someone else, distraction by money, someone else, politics. For everyone, the newspaper. Practically everyone will read the newspaper. And what does it take to read the newspaper? Half an hour, maybe? Depending on the size of the paper and how fast you read. And at the end, what profit? How is my life improved at the end of that half hour? How much wiser am I? How much more do I really know? Yet everyone has to have his newspaper and spend money for it. Imagine, just half an hour a day were spent reading about Krishna. How people would be enlightened. I have one friend, he was working as in a big construction company, he was an executive, and he lived up in Juhu, Bombay, which is the northern part of Bombay, and his work was down toward Nariman Point, down south of Bombay. So every day he would drive that distance, which in Bombay traffic is like an hour and a half, maybe. And in India, most people don't drive themselves, they have a driver. So his driver would drive him, and he would read his newspaper, and that's how he was using his time. And one day he happened to attend a lecture at our Juhu temple about Krishna consciousness, and he purchased a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and then he just used that transit time for reading Bhagavad Gita every day. And the result was that his whole life changed. He became fully Krishna conscious. He took charge of construction in our Delhi temple and so many things. Yeah. Just in the time it takes to drive from one place to another, which he was already doing, and read his newspaper, which he gave up for that time. It's not that we have no time, it's simply a question of using our time for Krishna. If we're going to read, then read something about Krishna. If we're going to chant, chant Hare Krishna. If we're going to drink something offered to Krishna. If you're going to become intoxicated with Krishna consciousness. It's natural, it doesn't cost anything, and there's no hangover. Because our consciousness, as we cultivate it during this life, finally determines what our next life will be. If we've cultivated low thoughts, our next birth will be low. There's so many animal species, fish, trees, birds. We can go down. Sometimes people think reincarnation means that we automatically go up and up and up. No. According to our consciousness, we can go up, we can go down. Sometimes we see someone, we say, God, that guy's living just like a pig. He even looks like a pig, eats like a pig, lives like a pig. So he has already the mentality of a pig. Why should nature give him a different kind of body in the next life than the one that fits his mentality? By nature's laws, in his next life he can become a pig. And the body will fit the mind. Or if one becomes Krishna conscious, one can get a spiritual body and go back to Krishna. And then, then one doesn't have to come back. One stays in the spiritual world. Because we're spiritual beings, we live forever. We want to live forever because it's our nature to live forever. Even if you try and step on a cockroach, it runs away. He wants to live forever. So it's natural, but now we're in an unnatural condition because we're living within these bodies which are temporary. So Krishna consciousness means, after giving up this body, don't take another one. Not another material body, but a spiritual body full of bliss and knowledge, imperishable, without all the troubles and difficulties and limitations imposed upon us by our present bodies. Yantra, these bodies are machines, and the machines cause trouble in so many ways. They cause trouble, and they're susceptible to trouble. We're experiencing, so it's too hot, or it could be too cold, or it could be too this or too... Why? Because of this body. Because I have this body, I experience too much heat, or too much cold, or too much this, or too much that. Troubles, pains, and difficulties. Because of this body. Otherwise, if we don't have a material body, no problem. So Krishna consciousness means simply think of Krishna so that our consciousness will be transformed into Krishna consciousness. To think of Krishna, we have so many books, Bhagavad Gita, spoken by Krishna, Krishna books, Srimad Bhagavatam, about Krishna. So much to read, keep you busy for your whole life. And that reading will be enlightening, that reading will be actually enjoyable. Who wants to read the newspaper twice? But Bhagavad Gita you can read hundreds and hundreds of times and always find something new, something wonderful. And thinking of Krishna, so read about Krishna, talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna, and chant Hare Krishna. To think of Krishna by meditation is very difficult. This yoga system with meditation means it's meant for thinking of Krishna. To fix the mind on Krishna within the heart. There's maybe this other door. Can you come in this way? Yeah, come on in and just make your way through. The waters will part and you'll be able to. Oh. We'll let them come in and we'll make space. Up this way, up this way. Yeah, you can put the lip under there. That's another reason to go to the spiritual world. There's unlimited space. About as much as we're going to get. So the yoga system, Hare Krishna, is meant for thinking of Krishna, silent meditation and so on. But in this age, that's very difficult. To sit in yoga posture and meditate for so many hours and keep the mind free from disturbance and then fix it within so that you're able to see Krishna within the heart. Very difficult. Our cell phone rewarding and it's all over. But to chant Hare Krishna is very easy. And chanting means naturally you're thinking of Krishna. There's no difference between chanting Hare Krishna and thinking of Krishna. Because chanting is Krishna's presence. And when we chant attentively, when we fix our mind on the transcendental vibration, then Krishna, that's where our mind is. The mind is now in Krishna. You don't have to think something special or do some sort of jujitsu on your mind. Just fix the mind on the transcendental sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare
Hare. That's the whole process. Just to fix the mind on Krishna. Then, that's Krishna consciousness. You don't have to be a great scholar or a great intellectual, go through some very difficult procedures, some esoteric techniques. Just chant Hare Krishna, fix the mind on this transcendental sound. And you'll go back to Krishna. In this life, you'll be in Krishna consciousness. And next life, you can associate with Krishna. Okay, I'll stop here and see what kind of questions there might be.
There was a general question about the actual marks that the Vaishnavas have. They have the 12 marks. Mm. The idea of actually being afraid of death and actually having the 12 marks, would there be any reason why the superintendents, you wouldn't want to get killed by the superintendents?
Yeah. Yeah, the question is about these Tilak marks. They're not simply to, because we're afraid of death. They're to remind us of Krishna. That's what we're really afraid of, is forgetting Krishna. Dying is, you know, that's unavoidable and no point worrying about that. But forgetting Krishna, that would be bad. Therefore, King Kulashekar has a nice prayer. He says that that it's better to die now while my mind is absorbed in thinking of Krishna, because at the time of death, when it comes naturally, everything gets deranged and very difficult, and I don't know if I'll be able to think of Krishna, so better to die now. So that's our only concern, that we don't want to forget Krishna. Death, that's going to come. But forgetfulness of Krishna, that shouldn't come. So this tilak is to remind us of Krishna. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you were speaking about always remembering Krishna.
Mm. So and never forgetting Krishna.
And never forgetting Krishna. What's so great about Krishna that we should remember him?
What's not great about Krishna? Mm. Everything about Krishna is great. His beauty is great, his knowledge is great, his fame is great, his strength is great, his detachment is great. Health, beauty, fame, strength, knowledge,
renunciation,
detachment. They're all great. Greater than the person who's greater than everyone. Just like these football players, they're great because they have some strength and skill. And what is the manifestation of their strength and skill? They can kick a ball around. Now, isn't that great? But they're paid. Somebody was telling me how much these guys earn.
$4 million a year.
£4 million a year? And they're glorified, you know, such and such great football player. And he's in the paper, and people are paying money for him, and everybody wants their name on his name on their product. And what is their greatness? Excuse me? Team spirit. So that they have team spirit to cooperate and work very well with other people in kicking a ball around. Now that's really great. Excuse me? Yeah, they work together, and what is their great achievement? They kick a ball over a goal line.
Victory.
And what is victory? Victory is that you scored that you kicked the ball in the right place more than the other guy. Now that is really tremendous. What an achievement. Excuse me? Yeah, they competed and became champion ball kickers. And therefore, they're the greatest guys on earth because they work together. But who gave them the strength to do it? Who gave them the skill to do it?
The coaches?
No, not the coaches. coach can't take a, you know, a skinny, weakling, uncoordinated guy and make him a champion. Motivation, yeah, but there's a lot of people who are motivated and they never progress outside of the parking lot. Where do they get the strength and the skill?
Practice.
Practice, yeah, but there's people who practice and practice and practice, and again, never make it.
Krishna.
They get it from Krishna. When Krishna gives them, because Krishna has given them some capability, they become great champions. Champion football players, or champion warriors, or champion scholars, or champion politicians. They all become champions by a little bit of Krishna's grace, or Krishna's energy borrowed from Krishna. So if all these little guys who are kicking balls around, or stuffing ballot boxes and winning the election, or whatever it is that they're doing to become champions, if they're doing it with the help of a little bit of Krishna's energy and they become great, how great is Krishna? Upon whom all the champions depend. And why should we be glorifying these little punks? And neglecting Krishna.
Because they prove that everything's possible.
They prove that everything's possible? No, Krishna proves that everything's possible. They don't prove anything. They can't do the impossible anyway.
But the thing is that Krishna is above humans.
Exactly.
Humans, so if they achieve something that is quite impossible, or seems quite
impossible. Yeah, it's great. Like a, you know,
it's
inspiring. You know, like a dog walking on its hind legs. You know, it doesn't do it very well. Can't do it very long. But we say, wow, look at that. The dog is walking on its hind legs.
But humans are all species, so they can be inspired by the examples done by other people.
Yeah, you can be inspired by these other people. I could also kick a ball around, or I could also get a promotion in my job. Therefore, everybody's watching it, and they're imagining something. They can't do it, so they watch and they get some pleasure someone else is doing, or they imagine, you know, they sort of invest their energy in this person. He becomes their proxy. So if he wins, then I won. I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting in the pub drinking beer and watching the screen. But because I've somehow identified myself with this guy who's running around and kicking the ball, when he wins, then I think, wow, you know, we won. What did we won?
But they say successful people, you just learn from successful people, you know?
Yeah, but who's a successful person? You see those successful people, you know, fast forward. Now they're great, successful guys. They're, you know, everybody's going to celebrate them. Of course, if they lose the next game, it's a different story. But if they keep winning, everybody says, great, fantastic teamwork, great players, blah, blah, blah. So I'll add 60 years. And
they are sportsmen, you know, we still remember them being, you know, around.
Yeah, they'll be remembered. They'll be remembered, and that'll be great. You know, they can sit in their wheelchairs and show the clippings from 30 years ago when they used to be great.
They can provide the coach.
They'll pass by, right? Yeah. Let it be open. They can have their 3 minutes of glory. Yeah. You were saying.
It's a similar thing, you know, like you put a lot of effort into a spiritual practice, someone else put a lot of effort into their career or whatever.
Right, exactly. It's the same thing. You put effort into spiritual practice or your career or your sports or whatever. It's the same thing. You practice, you put energy into it, you develop your determination and all of that. And at the end, if it's been your career or your job or this and that, it's all wiped out.
In a way.
Yeah, in a way, like in every way.
There's no way. You inspire a lot of other people.
Yeah, and they also become inspired to achieve something and get it all taken away.
But it's the same thing I can say about, you know, somebody's practicing your spiritual
you
life.
You can say
and
it,
dies
but
and
he dies and then what?
Well, it's a question of faith.
Not a question of faith. That was the point I was making before. Just like someone says, it's a question of faith, you know. If you believe you die, then you're going to die. No, if you believe it or not, death is certain. Krishna says, for one who's born, death is certain. It's not a question of faith.
I'm not talking about, you know,
and then Krishna, but then the other side, yeah, what about after death? Krishna says, for one who dies, birth is certain. It's not a question of faith. It's either a fact or it's not a fact. Now, I may not know whether it's a fact, but it's a fact, either one way or the other. It's not that if I believe it, it's true for me.
So do you say that, you know, like you put a lot of effort, you work very hard, and instead of sitting in the pub, you know, you play the football, or whatever, I don't know, you build a business, then the God will not appreciate it, that, you know, you put a lot of effort, you studied, you work very hard.
No, God,
know,
God will not appreciate it. That you
so
forgot,
you know,
all,
you
forgot all about him, and you just made yourself busy trying to enjoy it for yourself. No, God doesn't appreciate it.
So you know the will of God, and we all
yes, of course.
Are very ignorant, yeah?
Is that not all of us. Some of us are ignorant. You read this book, Bhagavad Gita, you'll know the will of God also. It's
well,
open.
I read the book.
Okay, so then you know. If you read it carefully, you know.
Well, you know
then you're not ignorant. Otherwise, if you didn't read it or you read it and forgot, Hare Krishna. Of course, everyone who doesn't know is ignorant. That stands to reason. You know, if you don't learn about science, you'll be ignorant about science. If you don't learn about music, you'll be ignorant about music. You don't learn about football, you'll be ignorant about football. You don't learn about the purpose of life, you'll be ignorant about that. But which is more important?
The purpose of life is to make the most of yourself.
Yeah, what is the most?
Well, it depends on your ideal.
No.
If
just if I have the idea that the most like, that making the most of myself means robbing as many banks as possible or sniffing as much cocaine as possible.
So can you explain
that doesn't mean that I'm really making the most of my life.
You know, like why Krishna is telling Arjuna, you know, he's telling him go and, you know, do your duty and fight. He's not telling him, you know, shave your head, sit in the
no.
corner and count your beats.
No.
He's telling him, you know, go and fight.
And go fight and what?
And win.
And what?
Me.
No, Krishna said, actually, you win or lose, it doesn't matter. But mama nusmara yujucha. Think of me and fight.
And how do you know what the footballer is thinking about, you know?
Go ask him. Do the research and come back and let me know.
Why do these players, they do the cross before they...
Very nice.
Do they throw the ball?
They do a little cross. Very nice. You know, maybe they're God-conscious. I'm not going to pass judgment on the football players. You know, maybe these football players are really the most holy and devout men in all of England. I wouldn't want to pass judgment.
That's what I said, you know, I've been turning it around.
But my point is that the purpose of life is to remember Krishna or God. So if you do that, then whether you're playing football or you're building a corporation or whatever you're doing, very nice. But if you forget Krishna, it's all a lost cause. You build up your business, you build up your sports career, you build up everything. And death comes and wipes it all out, 100%. All gone. All that effort, all that investment.
For the person who dies.
Excuse me?
For the person who dies.
Yeah.
It's going to be wiped out, but for the others, it's not going to.
For the?
For the others. For his followers.
For the others.
The others. For the person who dies, it's going to be wiped out. And for the others, who are those others? Those who don't die. Who are they?
This is his children.
They're not going to die? He's going to die and his children aren't?
Later
is the same thing. You know, I die tomorrow, and you're laughing, and you say, ah, he died. And you die the next day, so.
Your children, I mean, your grandchildren.
Yeah, then it's generation and generation of dyers. I get wiped out, then the next guy gets wiped out, and then his children get wiped out, and then there's a little nursery rhyme. The itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. And the itsy-bitsy spider went up the slab again. That's material life. You achieve something and get wiped out. Take another body, get wiped out. Take another body, get wiped out. Or I do it and get wiped out, and then the next itsy-bitsy spider comes up, the son of itsy-bitsy spider. He's got a big t-shirt, son of itsy-bitsy spider. He comes and gets wiped out. So you've got generations and generations of these little spiders climbing up the spout and getting wiped out. What's it finally amount to? It amounts to a total wipeout. We have awareness, and
I mean, if we have this awareness about like everything's going to be wiped out eventually,
yeah.
So we are not going to get any progress in everything.
If we become aware that we're going to be wiped out, everything's wiped out eventually, we're not going to make any progress. Right. You're not going to waste your time just walking up the spout again. You're going to say, generations and generations of itsy-bitsy spiders have walked up this spout, and every one of them's gotten washed out. Now, what am I going to do? Walk up the spout? Am I crazy or something? You're right. You're going to be demotivated and say, there's got to be more to life than walking up this spout again. That's the beginning of real life. The person thinks that there's no point in just keeping up something, achieving something, winning something, just to get wiped out. There has to be some higher purpose. Then human life begins. Yeah, then you become disinterested in material achievement. That's a fact. But you become interested in real achievement. That's human life.
Everything should be balanced. Material
should Everything should be balanced. We say that also. So there's some material things you need. You need to eat. You need to sleep. You need to have a place to live. Fine. But that doesn't mean that you have to spend your whole life for that. It's totally out of balance. The real business is spiritual realization. And for that, we need to eat, we need to sleep, we need a place to stay. That's fine. But human society now is so out of balance that eating, sleeping, having a place to stay, having sex, that becomes life. And the actual purpose, what to speak of balance, is just forgotten. So we say balance. Suppose you have 24 hours a day. So spend, where to begin? Spend 15 minutes chanting Hare Krishna every day. Would that throw your life out of balance? We have these beats, meditation beats. You've seen? So the beads are there. And to chant Hare Krishna on each bead, on this strand of 108 beads, will take you, if you chant very slowly, 10 minutes, 15 minutes on the outside. Now, could you invest 15 minutes of your life every day without being off balance?
Yes, I could.
You could. So do that. The initiated devotees, they're chanting 16 rounds a day. It takes them 2 hours out of 24. Now, that's not going to throw your life out of whack. But you make, every day, spiritual progress. Again, the same time that a man spends reading the newspaper or watching the evening news. You spend that time to chant Hare Krishna, and you've got permanent benefit. No, not if you believe in it. Just like you take penicillin. It doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not, it works. Not that, well, if you believe in penicillin, then it'll work for you. No. Of course, that's what it means. If you take penicillin and it doesn't work, it means penicillin wasn't effective for you. But you chant Hare Krishna. If it's not effective, come back and let us know. We'll refund your money. Fifteen minutes a day can change your whole life for the better. Hare Krishna.
Questions they asked.
what you said is correct. Keep doing what you are doing, or keep working, but being a spiritual or in Krishna consciousness, which will give you strength to live this life successfully. What does it mean? That in the football game, if you lose a game, it won't affect you much. But if you win the game, in the soccer, they worked hard, they attained something. But a same person who is in the Krishna consciousness or a spiritual will be able to pass through that phase in which they get success or they get failure. So spirituality and Krishna consciousness give you strength to live this life. I understand.
Very good. Labha labho jayaji.
If human nature is very adaptable, and
if human nature is
very adaptable, and the thing is, if we just excuse ourselves, like we've heard Krishna comment about, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, just fight for me. So we can also, you know, find excuse for ourselves as well. It doesn't matter if we win or lose in our life, in our achievements, if we fail. But if you just have in mind Krishna, so you're going to be okay, you're going to be all right.
Yeah, you'll be uninterested in being a big success in this material world. You'll be more interested in being spiritually successful. Now, you may think that's terrible. We think it's good. Because there's so many big, big successes in this material world, but their lives are a failure.
The thing is here,
but you, it's a fact. Like, we have a friend, his family is one of the big, big, wealthiest families in America. Ford Motor fortune. And one of the members is our devotee. And all the other members are non-devotees. And their life is conspicuously unhappy. There was a biography written about the whole family. And the author said, among all of the family, it seems only Alfie has found happiness. Not illusion. Krishna is not illusion. Rather, the other family members found illusion. Now they had so much money, they could drink as much as they wanted, they could buy as much as they wanted, and they could be miserable. Because those things that the rest of us thought, if I'm successful, if I'm motivated, I can get these things, and then I'll be happy. Those people have those things, and they're not happy. So what's the illusion?
It's very simple. It's very simple.
It's very simple to accumulate things, or not so simple, but anyway. So you get education, and what is the education? How to work like an ass for your whole life so that you can achieve these things that are making other people unhappy when they get them. What kind of education is that? That's how to become an ass. Excuse me?
It's too pragmatic education, but there is other sort of education.
Now there's real education also.
Pure science.
Pure science. This is pure science. Raja Vidya, Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam. Krishna says the real science is the science of spiritual understanding. So that's the king of education. Not education how to make a lot of money or how to write a book saying, well, you know, the guy who wrote the last book, he had it all wrong. Let me tell you what the real story is. And then somebody comes and writes another book and says, ah, that guy had it all wrong.
Can't
apply it to what?
To spiritual education.
Yeah, you apply reasonable. Actually, spiritual education gives you reasonable doubts. The fools are going to school and they're imagining, I'll go to school, I'll work very hard, I'll get a good job, and I'll get money. The spiritually aware person has doubts. Reasonable doubts. He says, first of all, I go to school, I get an education. Half the guys who are getting out of school aren't getting a job anyway. Then he says, okay, I'm one of the lucky guys who gets a job. So then what? So then I get to build a big career, then I get a lot of money, then I get a beautiful wife, because now she's got a husband who's got a lot of money, a big house, and I've got a nice car, and I've got kids, blah, 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 blah. And then I get wiped out. Down comes the rain and wipes the spider out. So he starts to have a reasonable doubt whether he should spend the short time that he has, because how many years do we get? He starts to have reasonable doubts. Why should I do this thing, which has been a failure for all of history? So to build up, you know, a pyramid, what good does it do? Does it do the Pharaoh now that there's a pyramid out in the desert someplace where his body used to be before the grave robbers came? What good is it?
It's too average.
Hmm?
What you describe is too average.
Too average? Pharaohs are not average. They're at the top of the heap.
No, I'm saying, like, for example, what about like artists or scientists or actors?
Actors, scientists. Where I grew up, there was a... I used to bicycle past the Actors Fund home. The Actors Fund home was... It had a kind of a fence, and there was, you could see it was like a golf course kind of a place. And I didn't know very much about it, except that my mother knew the names of some of the actors who lived there. And they're, you know, just names. They're just guys in wheelchairs and guys in beds having nurses clean up after them. And they were the big, successful, you know, heartthrobs, you know. Girls would go, ooh. Or, you know, the women, the actresses, the men. And now they're just like beat up old rags in an old age home.
But the spiritual person will be old as well, who might be on the wheelchair as well.
Right. But his achievement is not that he got his face on, you know, on a film screen. His achievement is that he's Krishna conscious. He knows that he's not this body. Materialist pegs all of his hopes on the body. And the spiritually educated person has a reasonable doubt about whether that makes any sense. So he places his interest on the spiritual platform, where nothing is ever destroyed. Yeah, art and music are a waste of time when they're not connected with Krishna. Yeah, they paint a picture of some sticks and a ball, or they paint a picture of, you know, some girl with her breasts hanging out, or they paint a picture of this or that. And what is it? People look at a museum and they say, oh, look at that. What good does it do?
But how come you have more successful artists, more successful scientists who are not Hare Krishna, if you know, like, this...
They're all failures. Your most successful artists, your most successful... scientists, your most successful musicians, your most successful politicians are all failures.
So Bach was failure?
Absolutely.
Leonardo da Vinci was failure?
Failure. Name some more failures for
me.
You
know?
We have reasonable doubts, what can I tell you? The reason is that all of their accomplishments, they have to leave behind them, and they don't know where they're going. Okay, da Vinci or Bach, some God consciousness is there, but apart from their God consciousness, the achievements are all nothing.
But they meant it for us.
There's something, yeah, they leave something for you, so that you can waste your life. Excuse me?
You can't prove it.
What would you consider proof? I can prove that I can't prove 100% that everybody loses everything, but I can prove it 99.9%. I can say to you, you know, show me one example where someone hasn't died and lost all of his material assets. You know, now that's not proof, maybe, that, you know, after 100 million people, one more is going to stroll along and he's not going to die. How do I know? I can't prove it. But it seems awfully likely. But the next guy is going to die, and all the guys after him, since it's been working that way since time immemorial. All the spiders go up the spout, and rain comes and washes them all out. That's history. Now, you can have faith that it's not going to be like that for you. We think it makes better sense to have a reasonable doubt about that.
If you use this God-conscious pictures of Leonardo da Vinci or compositions of Bach and get it as inspiration and then go...
Yeah, wherever there's God consciousness, then it's all right. But you take your ordinary mundane musicians, mundane artists, mundane politicians. It's all lost. It's all finished. But spiritually, if you contribute something, that's actually beneficial for those who follow you. You get out of the material world, you attain the spiritual platform, and then those who follow you also. So if you want to do something for the next generation, if you want to do something for other people, become Krishna conscious and give them Krishna consciousness. Then it's your permanent credit and their permanent asana. Otherwise, you want to give them the same kind of perishable goods that you had to reach the same perishable end.
Are you stationing up our children? We shouldn't let them play music, instruments? We shouldn't let them... So what should we let them do?
Come here and play mridanga, chant Hare Krishna, play kartals. So they want to play music. Music is great. We love music. We do music all day long. If your kids want to do music, send them over here.
So they will not learn to read and write?
So. There you go. He probably knows how to read and write, but what good does it do him? Yeah, therefore reading and writing is good. You read Bhagavad Gita and write about Krishna.
If you want somebody's childhood learned about all the things in school, they won't have the microphone for it.
Excuse me?
If it weren't some children who had learned all the technology things and so on at school, you wouldn't have a microphone to speak from.
Well, that would be terrible.
So why are you using
We would sacrifice. If we didn't have all the gifts of technology, we would consider ourselves lucky. We'd have no atom bombs, we'd have no pollution, we'd have no mass extermination. And people who wanted to kill people would have to use stones instead of cruise missiles. And we wouldn't have microphones. It's a trade-off.
But then why do you carry on using these things? Why do you carry on using the airplane? Why do you use a laptop?
Just so that they're not totally useless.
As a teacher, I learned one thing. You must lead by example. You must lead by example by giving all these things up, sir.
No, we're leading by example by using them for Krishna. And if the whole world uses everything for Krishna, that will be very nice. Instead of using it for sense gratification, instead of using it to forget Krishna, you know, they get on the microphone and they start howling. You know, I want sex, I want sex. Give me another beer and I want sex. You know, so we don't, that's the misuse of the microphone. If you get on the microphone and talk about Krishna, that's the proper use of the microphone.
But then you come back to the same point. Then it's good for those people who made it. It's good that they went to school.
Yeah, they got some benefit because we're using the microphone for Krishna. Actually, it's not necessary, but since it's here, we'll use it. Sukadev Goswami didn't have a microphone. It wasn't a problem.
Yeah, so you're
not Vyasadeva didn't have a microphone. It was no problem. Rupa Goswami didn't have a microphone. Jesus Christ didn't have a microphone. His philosophy is all over the world. His teachings are all over the world without his having a microphone. So how important is the microphone? More important is the message. If the message is powerful, it'll get around, microphone or no microphone. The microphone, we can use it since it's here. Otherwise, if there was no microphone, I'd just speak loud. So it's great, you build a microphone, we'll use it for Krishna. But if you forget Krishna and just build a microphone, then your life is a failure. Anything minus Krishna, it's like zeros, Prabhupada's example. You have a zero, how much is it worth? It's worth nothing. And if you have two zeros, how much is it worth? Double. Three zeros is worth triple, 10 zeros. As much as you multiply the zeros, it's still zero. But if you put one and put it next to the zero, it's 10. Next to two zeros, it's 100. Three zeros. So you just add Krishna. Then all these zeros have value.
But I do agree with you, so don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, actually, I do agree with you.
Yeah, I had you pegged for a nice guy, it's okay.
What do you think about the concept of zero?
Excuse me?
The concept of zero was very, very useful for the service of.
Yeah, it came from Vedic culture. You know, these are called Arabic numerals. right? But they came. The Arabs called them Indian numerals. They're there already in the Vedic culture. Everything's there, even zero. Okay, time to stop. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Gaur Premanand.